About 25 years ago, now Archbishop Sean McKnight was the director of the Office of Worship in our diocese. And every month he sent out it was called Liturgy Matters. Of course, it was supposed to be a take on those two words. Liturgy Matters, like here's some things you need to know about, but it was also a gentle reminder to all of us priests that the worship of God is important. And one of the things he did every month was he would list the dedication of all the churches. You know, due to the way prior to 1970, the dedication of a church would take in the neighborhood of about 5 hours. And so most of the dedications happen in May, June, July, August, and September, because you wouldn't do that in the cold because it starts outside. And in a certain way, in the old rite of dedicating a church, the first thing that the bishop did was baptize, if you will, the structure. And then, after going all around the outside of the church, they would come into the church, and then he would baptize, in a certain way, the inside. And all of these little white cement crosses you see on the wall, those are places that were anointed with the oil of chrism. Because chrism is what we use when something gets consecrated outside of the Most Holy Eucharist. And so the very building is set aside for the worship of God. But in the church, we don't just sort of willy-nilly have churches. We have parishes. And so, now granted, if you're in a bigger city, sometimes they do have churches connected to parishes. Rome is very common in that way. But everyone's supposed to belong to a parish. Because while we belong to the Roman Catholic Church, that makes us in union with everybody throughout the world who is Catholic, Eastern Rite or Western, God wants to build up his part of the world, our part of the world, in community. And as followers of Jesus Christ, the first duty that we have after we're baptized is to worship God. That's what this building is dedicated to. And sometimes in the last 40, 50 years, we've gotten a little bit backwards on the idea of what we come here to do. This is what's so powerful about God, one of the things. We have to worship God. It's not an option. It's nice if you can do it, and if you can't, don't worry about it. That's why the Catholic Church teaches that missing Mass for without a grave reason is a grave matter, a mortal sin, if you do it knowing that. Because we owe it to God to worship him. Going all the way back to St. Augustine, of course, my favorite saint, St. Thomas Aquinas, wrote so beautifully about the virtue of religion. Because St. Thomas, of course, had no idea of religions as if there were millions of them. He only knew that it was a real virtue, something that we owe to God and we can never repay him. But when we come together to worship God, it isn't a one-way street. While we owe it to him to worship him, he in turn pours out his grace upon us for doing the very thing that we're supposed to do. And so this building is so important. It doesn't mean we couldn't worship God if we didn't have the building. In the early church, they would go to people's homes who had big homes so that as many people as could come. But as soon as they could, during the persecutions, when they would go down, I've mentioned this before, they would build churches. That building itself would be set aside for the worship of God. And everything that we do in the Holy Mass is for the worship of God. It can secondarily benefit us. So even the proclaiming of the readings, while they're proclaimed and we want to hear them, they're first and foremost part of the worship of God. Every single thing that happens up here is all done for the worship of God. to give God his due to the best of our ability. And as John says in a different place, quoting the Lord, we worship God in spirit and in truth. And so I just want to say a few more words about the virtue of religion that's so tied to what goes on in this beautiful church. In the virtue of religion, there are two types of actions that we do. There are interior actions and there are exterior actions. And the exterior actions are supposed to be the response from the interior. So I've also mentioned before, maybe several times, that as Catholics, we have to be very careful that we don't just go through the motions. Because we have all sorts of things that are rote to us. Our prayers, our actions, we know when to stand, we know when to sit, we know when to kneel, make the sign of the cross, start saying the creed. But that's all supposed to be a manifestation of what's going on in our hearts. And the two great actions of the interior are devotion and prayer. To live the virtue of religion means to have a devout mind ready to serve God, not just in the building of the church, but everything we do. That's why St. Paul says in one place, everything you do, do for the glory of God. Everything. Every word you speak, every action you make, every thought you think. Now, of course, you might be thinking that's absolutely impossible. And naturally speaking, that's a true statement. But then again, we come back to God giving us these great gifts, particularly the gift of his grace. And we know that by his grace, all things are possible. And the saints are such a beautiful role model for us in how to live the virtue of religion. St. Augustine has a great line. I mention this at First Communion with the kids every year. He says, Christian, become what you have received. Our purpose to be here every Sunday is to worship God, and then he in turn feeds us with his body and blood so that we can become whom we have received. Because it's a great mystery. When St. Paul speaks of the body of Christ, he of course knows that Jesus was really and truly God and man. And then he says, but by our baptism, we're inserted into the body. We're members of the mystical body of Christ. And so receiving Holy Communion worthily makes us what we are. It makes us like Christ. It even makes us other Christs. And so when we get this right, we can change our part of the world. It's not something that it's just me and Jesus, although there is an element that it has to be each individual heart, but all of the hearts of Blessed Sacrament Church need to be so transfigured individually and communally that we change our part of the world, that we build up the glory of the kingdom already. And in doing so, we prepare ourselves for the glory of what we celebrate every Sunday. Here we see, as St. Augustine says, in shadow, but then in the kingdom, we'll see the reality, the fullness of God. And it won't be like a spectator thing we watch from a distance, because God will be all in all, and we'll be perfectly united to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit forever. And we should think about that every Sunday, so that we can become whom we have received, and we can receive the fullness of what we've been given, which is to reign with God forever in heaven.